Welcome to SCOTUScast, Indian Lands Post-Decision Edition. Thanks for tuning in. On Tuesday, February 24th, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Carcieri v. Salazar, originally heard in November as Carcieri v. Kempthorne. In this case, the Supreme Court considered whether the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934 empowers the Secretary of the Interior to take land into trust for Indian tribes that were not recognized tribes in 1934 under federal jurisdiction. In an 8-1 decision, the court held that the 1934 Act did not so empower the Secretary of the Interior, reversing the First Circuit's ruling. Six of the justices further held that the Narragansett tribe, specifically, was not recognized under federal jurisdiction in 1934, thus holding that the Secretary did not have the authority to take the particular parcel of land at issue in this case into trust. To discuss the decision, we bring back, from our post-argument podcast on this case, Tom Getty, a principal in Bingham Consulting Group, and of counsel to Bingham McCutcheon LLP. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Getty.
This is Tom Getty. On February 24, 2009, a number of states and local governments claimed victory when the Supreme Court decided Carcieri versus Salazar. The Supreme Court, by a 6-3 majority, held that the Secretary of Interior did not have the power under the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934, or IRA, to take land out of the state's general jurisdiction and place it in trust for an Indian tribe not under federal jurisdiction in 1934, the year the act was passed. The case involved a challenge to the Secretary of Interior's decision to take into trust a 31 or 32-acre parcel in Charlestown, Rhode Island, for the benefit of the Narragansett tribe, a tribe that did not receive federal recognition until 1983. At the same time that states and local governments are hailing the decision, there is general consternation and a pledge of activism from tribes who swiftly will seek a congressional fix to the court's ruling. The case came up principally as a matter of statutory construction, but tendered an important question. After all, the Secretary had been relying upon this statute to take land out of the state's jurisdiction since 1934 to adjust tribal land holdings, increase reservation lands, and provide lands for newly recognized and re-recognized tribes. The hearing followed a 2007 en banc decision of the First Circuit Court of Appeals against the Governor of Rhode Island, Donald Carcieri, who, with others, broadly challenged the powers given the Secretary under Section 5 of the IRA, or Section 465 of Title 25 of the U.S. Code. That section allows the Secretary to take land in trust for the benefit of Indians who, in Section 19 of the IRA, are defined as persons of Indian descent who are members of any recognized tribe, quote, now, close quote, under federal jurisdiction, and descendants of members who were on June 1, 1934, residing within the present boundaries of any Indian reservation, as well as other persons of one-half or more Indian blood. The Secretary interpreted the phrase, quote, now under federal jurisdiction, close quote, as meaning the time the Secretary takes the land in trust, not the time of the enactment of the statute, 1934. While the First Circuit decided a wide range of issues relating to this section of the IRA, including its constitutionality, the Supreme Court granted certiorari only on whether the statute by its own terms authorized the Secretary to take land in trust for post-1934 tribes, and whether the Rhode Island Settlement Act effectively trumped the IRA, limiting the Secretary to take land in trust for the Narragansetts. The court had no trouble concluding, much as it had been urged by Rhode Island's counsel, former Solicitor General Ted Olson, that the word now in now under federal jurisdiction referred to 1934 when Congress enacted the IRA, and not 1998 when the Secretary accepted the parcel into trust. The court rested upon the ordinary meaning of now, as understood at the time of enactment, to mean the present time, at this moment, at the time of speaking. The use of, quote, now and hereafter, close quote, in other places within the statute, demonstrated to the court that Congress understood it was limiting now to the time of enactment, and not thereafter. Justice Thomas delivered the opinion for the court, joined by all except Justice Stevens, and with a concurrence from Justice Breyer, and a concurrence in part and dissent in part from Justice Souter, joined by Justice Ginsburg. Justice Stevens opined, among other points, that the 1983 federal recognition of the tribe is a reflection of the tribe's existence since time immemorial, and thus it is a fortiori a tribe for the purposes of this statute. Justices Souter and Ginsburg, on the other hand, did not quarrel with the meaning of the word now, but instead focused on under federal jurisdiction. They dissented from the straight reversal and would have remanded the matter to allow the secretary and the tribe to establish that the tribe may have been, quote, under federal jurisdiction, close quote, even if not formally recognized. While Justice Breyer agreed a tribe might be able to establish it was under federal jurisdiction in 1934, even if not formally recognized at the time, he concluded that the Narragansetts were simply not such a tribe. This case raises at least some question of whether this decision operates prospectively only. I think that it does. Land already taken into trust by the United States for the benefit of a tribe, even one that was not under federal jurisdiction in 1934, probably cannot be taken out of trust without an act of Congress and without some other consequences. However, the Secretary, acting for a tribe that seeks a trust land acquisition in the future, or now pending, may face litigation over whether a tribe was, quote, under federal jurisdiction, close quote, in 1934, if it was not formally recognized at the time. Factual questions relating to whether treaties were in place or fully negotiated, even if not ratified, whether land was set aside in the past, set aside for individual Indians, or group of Indians, or multiple tribes, or bands, these are all tough questions that may arise in challenges to the Secretary's authority to place land in trust. Tribes are acting quickly to propose a carcieri fix, presumably an amendment to Section 465 to strike the word now, or otherwise to clarify that the Secretary has power to take land in trust for any tribe that is formally recognized, no matter when. Ironically, that effort will put the question squarely back into the political branches and into a vigorous debate about Indian tribes that appear, to the states and local governments anyway, to be encroaching upon settled jurisdictions. The Senate Indian Affairs Committee can be expected to support such a proposal, and many, if not most of the states, are likely to oppose it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.